Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Cynthia Milburn from Epilepsy Halton. So tell me a little bit about the epilepsy work that's going on.
So Epilepsy Halton Peel Hamilton is a nonprofit, a charitable organization dedicated to improving the quality of life, independence, and community support for persons living with epilepsy. And we offer a number of programs and services that do meet the needs of our clients and offer education and public awareness in all the diverse areas of our community. We have several programs going on throughout the year, a grade 5 curriculum that integrates with their science program. And the teachers have the latitude to teach in grade 5 about the human body, and they can choose what topics they teach. And we come in and teach them about the brain, and it's very interactive, and it's a fun program for them, and they're very responsive. It's just a great group of 10-year-olds. And then we have a summer camp for children with epilepsy and their siblings. And epilepsy is it's a family disorder, so it involves more than just the person that's suffering from this disability. So our summer camp involves the whole family, and the parents get a break, and all the siblings can come to camp. And it's a day program run Tuesday to Thursday, mostly in Mississauga, and there's a couple of weeks that we run it in Hamilton. So we also have a youth program that we're running. It's a new program that we're just beginning, and this will incorporate that group of people that are often forgotten, and we want to engage and empower them.
So, for those who might not be as familiar with the condition, can you tell me a little bit about epilepsy itself?
Okay. Epilepsy is a tendency to have recurrent, unprovoked seizures. So it's the same thing as a seizure disorder, but a single seizure does not constitute epilepsy. And seizures are a result of a temporary electrical disturbance in the brain, and a seizure can take on many forms, including convulsions, blank stares, uncontrolled movements, odd sensations, or even muscle spasms.
So, in your time with the organization, have there been any challenges that have been faced?
We have challenges every day. There, most people with epilepsy are considered to have a disability. Their seizures are uncontrolled, and the challenges they face are social, education challenges. They have transportation issues, and employment is often challenging if seizures are occurring at work.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time working with epilepsy, what sorts of successes have you seen?
Well, in terms of success in our organization, the people we help, we have helped individuals with workplace issues, including having to assist them with human rights tribunal, and we've had success with the results there. We help them in terms of mitigating their seizures. alternative things, such as assisting them in getting towards the Dog Guides of Canada program. And a dog guide is also helpful for someone with epilepsy. We teach people about other options, such as the ketogenic diet, which is a modified Atkins diet supervised by doctor and dietitian, and it also helps with seizure mitigating seizures and eradicating them in some cases with this diet therapy.
So, do you work in partnership with any other organizations?
We do. We work in partnership with an organization called Matthews Friends Canada. And Matthews Friends Canada is part of a global organization, Matthews Friends, and it is totally dedicated to the ketogenic diet for epilepsy therapies, and it is a resource that's accessed for people who are really at their wit's end with the medications not working. We have partnerships all over within our regions, other charities, other social organizations, community organizations, because other medical conditions also have a seizure component to them in many cases, like autism and even diabetes, CP, muscular dystrophy, and even MS, and many, many more neurological conditions.
So, how do you go about spreading the word about the work that you do?
Well, we have events all year long, and one of them is our Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, and we are actually a featured charity this year. So there's a lot of media drawn to this, which is great, media attention. We have different events in different communities as well. So we have a gift wrapping in Shoppers World Brampton, where we're present there for the entire month. And as people go through the mall, every event we attend, somebody comes forward for information and hasn't heard of us before and now has this connection. And as well, we participate in as many community events as possible, community and health events, so that our presence is out there. We do have a media communications manager here in the office, and he has really increased the profile of the organization through his efforts.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for awareness of the condition, what would you say?
Well, in Canada, an average of 15,000 people per year learn that they have epilepsy. And 1 to 2% of the population in Canada has epilepsy. So more than half of the newly diagnosed patients have been children under the age of 10. And epilepsy is the third most common neurological condition.
Like,
it's very prevalent.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure. Thank you, Ken.
Really struck me during Cynthia's interview that they had had successes in helping these people affected with human rights situations. It always gets to me that human rights are being denied to these good people for things that are just out of their control. Fact is, you can't set standards that high. You can't say, oh, I'm going to give you this opportunity because you're able-bodied and of a certain background, and I'm not going to for you because maybe you see a little differently, hear a little differently, learn a little differently. Eventually, you just create an impossible standard, and that's nobody's right to do. Fact is, denying someone human rights, it's just appalling. People with all types of disabilities have equal potential to learn and grow and to create. But if we as a society start curtailing those based on things which in many cases are treatable, manageable, maybe not necessarily curable, but fact is, things like workplace accommodations are not meant to be overwhelming for the employer either. They're meant to provide an equal chance, an equal opportunity for someone with a disability to be a part of a workplace setting and, by extension, to be a part of the community. Can we really support businesses and politicians, people out there talking about equality, how they believe in equality, but when it comes to their business practices, they create the issue of human rights, denying someone an equal opportunity? Yes, there are those cases where a person will blow it out of proportion. They'll take something that was not a human rights violation, and they will claim that they have been wronged. That is up to the tribunal to decide. But some of the cases of outright discrimination, they don't get reported because a person with a disability would tend to feel embarrassed. And honestly, that doesn't make sense to me. That a person would choose not to seek recourse or help because they're too proud. People with disabilities are people. Simply put, they have one factor that makes them unique. Actually, they would have a great many factors in this way. We all do. We're all a blend of different personality types, different intelligence levels, different learning styles, different skills. And I'm grateful to see the epilepsy group is doing so much to support these people who just have one little difference. While I am frustrated that these people are denied opportunities, I'm glad to know that there is some recourse, there is some hope. But for a person with a disability, it really does begin with the idea that they have a right, if nothing else, to be heard, to say that I deserve respect and equality. Whether or not I'm subject periodic seizures, whether or not I walk a little differently or I speak a little differently, I am a person. I am entitled to the same dignity, the same consideration that anyone else would have. And going forward, we as a society must look at this very carefully. We must say that it's fine to have policies and procedures and ideals, but are we really living up to them in the way we should? HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
A Detroit-based cultural arts organization, Heritage Works celebrates the beauty and humanity of African people and world culture through movement, music, and folklore. Heritage Works believes culture is a rich resource for promoting understanding as well as personal and artistic excellence. When children, youth, and adults know their heritage, they raise their gaze, lengthen their perspective, and lift up their expectations for their own lives. Understanding and sharing culture builds a sense of community, develops leadership skills, complex thinking, resilience, and a sense of appreciation, and creates curiosity, confidence, and love. People, especially the young, need to help claim the benefit of this inheritance, the help Heritage Works uniquely provides.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Cynthia Milburn, told us about some great efforts on behalf of people with epilepsy. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Nicole Daigneault, one of her yoga students, Lisa Saran. Tell me a little bit about your experiences with the yoga program.
It's really helped me in a lot of ways. I've had really bad scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine that really has lingered me into a lot illnesses and a lot of back pain, and yoga has really helped me.
So, how did you find out about the program in the first place?
I go to a place called Harmony in Action, and they started a yoga program there for adults with disabilities. And they introduced me to the yoga program.
So, did you find the program easy to get into, or were there some challenges?
I remember Lisa was a little bit skeptical.
Yes. On trying it because of my back issues, because of the curvature of my spine, and because of all the pain I faced.
And when Lisa and I first met, the first day I started the program, I told the group right away that I have scoliosis, and she and I sort of right there began realizing that we have some things in common. And I think that when she learned about my own scoliosis, I think, hey, Lisa, that helped you to have a little bit of trust
and
in it.
And helped me have a better perspective on it.
So, how has your perspective on it changed over time? How have you gotten more involved with the yoga?
I do it once a week on Thursday mornings at Harmony in Action, and sometimes on Monday nights.
Yeah, sometimes we do it in a private setting. Sometimes I go to Lisa's house where we can work a little bit on a more individual basis, because here at Harmony, I'm teaching anywhere from 10 to 15 students at a time, and I do have some support workers, but it's been really nice for Lisa and I to have those one-on-one times at her home where we can really discover things that are going on with her that I don't maybe get to see so much when I have, you know, 10, 15 people in front of me. So those are special times, and I know, Lisa, that you also do some on your own. I know sometimes you do some breathing exercises.
Yeah. Breathing exercises. And it's really helped me with different things. It's really the whole yoga thing has really gave me a better outlook.
So, for the individual sessions, when it's just you and Nicole, do you do the same sorts of techniques that you would in a class setting?
A lot of Thai massage. But basically it's the same techniques that I would do in a class.
Same techniques, and I'm able to, you know, do them continuously with her, as opposed to doing a few rounds with her and then sort of showing the caregiver how to do it. Now, more and more, hey, we've had one caregiver that's been working with Lisa here in the group. So as you know, as I teach the helpers how to do the techniques, then I can really kind of leave them on their own, and I can go and help the rest of the group. And you and Emily have worked very well together. They really know the routine now.
Yeah.
So when I go to Lisa's house in a private way, we delve deeper and deeper into different things that might be hurting that week.
Yeah.
So.
It's been a really interesting journey for me.
So, what's been the greatest benefit that you've seen from the yoga?
Hard work really pays off. My new motto in life is hard work really pays off.
So, what are the next steps for you? Are you going to continue with the techniques and hopefully advance to some new ones as well?
Yes. Yes. I've actually incorporated more exercise into my daily life.
And
she's been doing, she sends me photos of her other workouts. She does weight training. She's been lifting weights. She's been punching a punching bag.
I've been swimming. I've been doing Zumba. Different things to help me, and my back pain is 100% better.
It's awesome, and I think you've lost some weight, and you feel a lot more comfortable in your everyday.
Yes.
So
my back is feeling stronger. My whole outlook in life is much better.
And for me, one of the nicest things that I saw was when I was at her house, and her mom told me, this is going back about a year ago or so. Her mom told me that she has never been able to just leave Lisa, you know, on the edge of the bed and be able to go and reach and grab something. Lisa has never had the strength to sit up by herself so that her mother could, you know, walk to the other side of the room, grab something, come back. And she's able to do that now. So I think that that's wonderful for both Lisa and her mother and all the people who help her out, that she has that strength now. I see her in yoga class. She can sit up the entire class by herself without someone needing to give her support behind her. So that's a tremendous relief on everybody.
So basically the yoga has strengthened her entire being.
Yeah.
The core is strong, and from there everything has gained more and more strength and definitely more flexibility. Limbs that didn't used to fully extend. Now Lisa can, you know, fully open up her hand, her arm, her elbow, and now we're fine tuning, getting into tiny little details now.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Cam.
My pleasure. Well, folks, I think Lisa's story is one of such great success because she found her anchor, so to speak. In disability life, the most important thing is recognizing what you can do, finding something that you can achieve at, that you can accomplish. Because from there, it's a matter of taking steps forward, saying, I got out of my comfort zone, and I did something. Maybe that society told me I could never do, but it works for me, and it's something I'm good at. If I can be good at one thing, why not others? Who's to say there isn't a whole wide world of possibilities out there of things I can experience and accomplish? For Lisa, who for the very first time was taking steps and strengthening and becoming just stronger, more capable person. That really is a sight to behold. For those who love and support individuals with disabilities, they always love to see it. They love to see them rising to the occasion. Lisa's story began with the yoga, but the fact that she didn't just leave it there and say, this is one thing, it's good, and that's all I'm going to try, that's all I'm going to really look at doing, that shows a great wisdom, I think, in so much as she realized that the world had been opened up for her and that she could move forward, become stronger and stronger. People with disabilities need to recognize this in their own ways. They need to understand that disability is life, not a life sentence. They need to know that each of them has the potential to achieve and to create, no matter what their outlet may be. There is no disability or condition that I would regard as hopeless. Yeah, today we might not have all the answers. Who's to say tomorrow we won't? And who's to say that we can't become stronger or more intelligent, maybe even surprise a person or two? Although, that being said, it's not about surprising people. It is about personal exploration. It is about seeing for ourselves what's possible and what's not. It's easy, day by day, to buy into the myths when people tell you, on a steady diet of, oh, you'll never accomplish, you'll never achieve, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough. How does a person with a disability know that until they try? How does anyone know that until they try? So it becomes a matter of choice, my dear friends. Buy into the myths and live a shell of a life. Or get out there, become strong, become wiser. See for yourself what possibilities exist. Yeah, it's easier to take one answer that says no. Some people might tend to see that as an excuse, a way of justifying living a not-so-full life, not pushing their potential. But you hear a story like Lisa's, you're reminded that there are those who do take it seriously enough to say, yeah, this is what you think the result will be. This is what I'm going to make the result. For Nicole to stand by her and watch her progress must be a remarkable gift. For Lisa, the understanding is as great as any other strength she might have acquired in this process. The truth is, it's not about saying to the world, hey, look what I can do, look how great I am. No. It's a matter of living each day with strength and dignity and seeing for yourself what can be accomplished, what can be achieved. Glory in the public eye is one thing. You get out there, you inspire a bunch of people, maybe change their lives. But at the end of the day, when a person with a disability goes home to rest or to enjoy, just to live, they have to be that someone who actually can achieve, who actually can believe in their achievement. The strength that you acquire through any great thing that you do becomes a part of who you are. Yeah, it may change the world, but if it changes one person, if it strengthens one person, it's already done its job. If it breaks down that barrier, that myth, says, this is impossible. This person will never sit up on their own or have any flexibility or be able to hold down a job or have any hope in the world. Once those myths are shattered, folks, even to the person affected, those myths never get back up. And we as a society need to recognize this sort of strength. Happens every day, you know. People out there just living with dignity and grace. Fact is, we can all look beyond the surface. Say the medical model says you're going to be in pain for the rest of your life. You can choose to live with that, or you can choose to look at all the options. You can choose to be that someone who actually stands firm, the one who knows what works and what doesn't. But you can't know that till you get out of your comfort zone and take that chance. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.